You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Now that was more like it. Just 3 nights after one of the more frustrating losses of the year, not just because they blew an early lead against the Clippers, but everything that happened post-game, the suspensions, all the drama after it, the Rockets recovered Thursday evening with one of their better performances in some time. On that positive note, welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, a very happy one late on this Thursday evening. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790. The Rockets just polished off a 116-98 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves at Toyota Center. It's the Rockets' sixth win in 9 games. Very nice rebound from having lost 5 in a row in late December. Improves them to 31-12 on the year. Meanwhile, Minnesota, which had entered having won 12 of 15, takes a hard loss, falls to 29-18 on the year. Now 6 games behind the Rockets in the loss column for the West number 2 seed. I know the Spurs, by record, are closest to the Rockets right now, 4 games back in the loss column. But as I've said for a few days now, I take Minnesota and maybe even Oklahoma City a little more seriously than I do San Antonio based on the injury to Kawhi Leonard and the fact that the Spurs have the most difficult schedule in the league, projected at least, for the remainder of the season. So for the Rockets, it's a great win, and it comes at an ideal time because even though you lost the two guys, Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green, to the league-mandated suspensions, at the same time, the Rockets, they're getting guys that are even more important, starting with James Harden, the league's MVP frontrunner back, along with Nene, and then the second game back for Luke Bamute. So you still have one more game without your full cast because Ariza and Green are still out. But for the first time in a while, the Rockets are looking and feeling healthy. You can see light at the end of this tunnel that I guess began when you had that wave of injuries in mid-December. And boy, it starts to feel like, even though I know we're just one game removed from somewhat of a downer performance in L.A., this was just a really encouraging win for the Rockets against a very good team in Minnesota. We'll talk about how impressive it was later in the program. As far as the standouts, and we'll start our first segment of our 3 points recap there. Certainly, Eric Gordon was fabulous. 30 points off the bench, 11 of 19 shooting, 7 of 13 from 3, lights out. Chris Ball was his usual brilliant self, 19 points, 9 assists on 50% shooting from the field, also 50% from 3, and had 6 rebounds. James Harden, certainly there's some rust to knock off, 10 points, 7 assists, was just 3 of 15 from the field and 1 of 5 from 3. But again, he did have the 7 assists, and what's most important for James, he played just 25 minutes, so they did, well, 26, but they did meet approximately his minutes limitation. Most important, James mentally was there and he didn't get hurt. That's what you want to see, that he's dialed in and that he doesn't re-aggravate it. I didn't see him limited. Actually, throughout the game, I thought he got a little bit more lift. He just looked like a guy that hadn't played basketball for 2.5 weeks, and that stuff is going to come. James Harden did not forget how to shoot a basketball. He's just going to slowly get better as he trusts the leg more. To his credit, he didn't try and go full throttle in game one, which you would not expect him to. The key thing, you didn't see him limping at all. There was no re-aggravation. And so typically when you see a guy return from a lengthy absence with a muscle pull like that in one of his legs, it's not game one when they just jump back in and are immediately themselves. It's a slow build. And for James, getting through that confidently, I thought actually playing some of his best ball in the second half, even if the shooting percentage isn't there, 3 of 15, I think he's generally pleased that he made it through this game. And of course, the Rockets got through it with a big win. And even James, I thought, was critical defensively. In our LockedOnRockets.com recap, the photo I choose to lead with was of him blocking Tom Ball's finest, not Houston's finest, but Tom Ball's, Jimmy Butler, early in the first quarter. And I thought the Rockets did a good job setting the tone, limited the Wolves to just 17 points in the first quarter. That allowed the Rockets to play from in front, and that's so big when you're trying to integrate all these new pieces. Not new pieces, but guys that have missed, at a minimum, a couple of weeks, like Harden and Nene, in the case of Bamute, longer than that. So when you're integrating these new pieces back into your rotation, you want to play what I consider low-leverage minutes. And by the Rockets coming out in the first quarter, disciplined, playing strong defense, and James Harden was included amongst that. Certainly Bamute starting in place of Trevor Ariza at small forward. And by the way, let's give Bamute some credit. 32 minutes, 5 of 9 shooting. That was great. His best shooting game in a long time, 4 of 6 from 3. But he was fantastic defensively. James, especially in the early going, was solid. And limiting the Timberwolves to 17 points in the first quarter was a big part of how I think guys like Nene off the bench were able to get into more of a flow because not every possession felt like a grind. So kudos to James, even though his shot wasn't falling. Again, I'm not discouraged because generally I thought he was moving well. I didn't see any limp. And as far as the mental sides of the game, his decision-making on offense, the passes he threw, especially on the rolls to Clint Capella, and his effort defensively, his level of engagement, folks, he's going to be fine. It's just a matter of continuing to knock the rust off, get more shots, and then with each leg, he's going to get progressively a little bit more stamina and a little bit more trust. As far as debuts, even though he was 3-15, I largely consider it a success. I'm sure James will too, again, because they won. I'm sure the same would be said for Nene, who had 12-8. We'll talk about him in the second part of the program. And then, as I said, Luke Bamute. About the one thing that you would worry about a tiny bit, you did see at one point in the game Luke grab the right shoulder, but he kept playing and actually kept shooting and making shots after that. So I think it's one of those things, when you dislocate a shoulder, your shooting shoulder at that, it's a pretty significant injury. It's not like that's just going to go away. There's going to be, especially as you condition your body to start playing 30-plus minutes of NBA-level basketball again, there's going to be bumps, just as the same way you saw Nene with some sort of heating pad or ice, I'm not sure what it was, on that knee. You saw him with something around it in the fourth quarter. It's not like these guys come back and all of a sudden they're just 100%. What you want to make sure is that there's no re-aggravation, there's nothing other than expected soreness. And based on the way that those guys played through and continued to be efficient, I think the Rockets would characterize any lingering issues as expected soreness when you consider the nature of the injury. So that's the big thing. The Rockets got their big guns back, and certainly you still had Chris Paul and Eric Gordon leading the way. As I said, Eric with 30 on 11 of 19 shooting, just blistering, 7 of 13 behind the arc. Chris Paul, 50%, 19, 9, and 6. But what the real story of this game was for me was how the return of those other pieces allowed just better usage overall and better integration throughout the roster, the lineups. Because if you look at this from a game perspective, Minnesota did not play that poorly in terms of the balance of the 48 minutes. The Rockets got their separation largely with a few select runs. The last minute 22 of the first quarter, the Rockets closed on a 9-0 run. The last 2:33 of the second quarter, they closed on a 13-5 run. The last 3.5 minutes of the third quarter, they closed on a 16-4 run. What's the common thread between all of those stretches? Well, it was Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. In that 9-0 run in the first quarter, all 9 points were from Eric Gordon, and that expanded the lead, of course, from 0-9. The 13-5 run at the end of the second quarter, 8 points were from Chris Paul, and 3 were from Eric Gordon on a Chris Paul assist. That stretch bumped your lead from 5-13. Then that 16-4 run with 3:30 left in the third, which essentially put the hammer down, expanded your lead all the way to 19 when it had been down to 5, actually. Or no, it was to 7 with 3.5 minutes left. 8 of the 16 points were from Eric Gordon. A couple were from Chris Paul. He also had 2 assists. So between them, they were directly responsible for 12 of the 16 points. So the bottom line is, at the end of each of the first 3 quarters, you went on a huge run sparked by Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. Why is that noteworthy? Because when James Harden was out, you would not have been able to do that because you had to start Eric Gordon. So this was what it felt like in late November, early December, when the Rockets were at their best on that 14-game winning streak, on that stretch with 20 of 21. Because when they were at their best, it wasn't just at the start of games. Actually, where they just seemed to murder teams was on those stretches late in the first, early in the second quarter, late in the third, early in the fourth, when you had Chris Paul and Eric Gordon against the other team's bench. And it was just overwhelming, especially the energy of Eric Gordon and his renewed ability to attack the rim this season. That's when the Rockets were at their best. They have not had that with Eric Gordon in the starting lineup because, well, he's had to replace either Chris Paul early in the season, James Harden recently. So even if one of those guys is playing late in the first, early in the second quarter, they're able to stagger minutes or they just play, you know, Chris or Eric 38 minutes a night. At the same time, you don't have them as fresh as you do when you can balance them with James Harden. So when you bring James Harden back and you establish your normal rotation, then you're able to have Eric take advantage the way he's designed to. And the best part, in addition to seeing him take advantage, as I said, how he's, you know, kind of, I think, designed to optimally in that six-man role, less facilitator, more of just an aggressive scorer. The one thing you wonder about, as we've said, Eric Gordon, yes, he's been a good player all year, but he's actually shot the three better when he's been the number two rather than number three. He's had a better three-point shooting percentage with, you know, when he's starting than when he's coming off the bench. Well, on a good side, not only did he play well off the bench with both Chris Paul and James Harden starting, but again, he made 7 of his 13 threes. So if there's one thing you could nitpick about this Eric Gordon as sixth man, this role when I think the Rockets have him penciled in what he won sixth man of the year for a season ago, the one thing you could nitpick is that as great as he's been attacking the basket as a scorer, all these other things, his defense has been better. Well, the three-point shooting, for whatever reason, I think it's just largely a coincidence, half of one season, percentage-wise, has not been there. Well, tonight, if there was any doubt, yes, he can shoot in that bench role as well, making 7 of 13 threes. And again, I think it all traces back to having James Harden, because when you have Harden in there, then you can use Chris and Eric optimally the way that it was designed to and the way that they were in late November, early December, when the Rockets were at their best. Similar story can be seen at the forward spots, where, as we said, Luke Bamute played very well, filling in for the suspended Trevor Ariza, 14 points, 5 of 9 shooting in his 32 minutes, very good defense. P.J. Tucker shot just 2 of 8 off the bench, but he was a plus 19 in his 34 minutes, and had what was most impressive for me, 9 rebounds, had a bunch of big rebounds down the stretch in your smaller lineups in the fourth quarter, and he hit the dagger 3, I believe it put the Rockets up 14 with a couple of minutes left, that essentially sealed the game. And where I'm going with the rotation trickle-down effects, because you had Luke Bamute back, you had P.J. Tucker contributing to a greater degree defensively, you did not have to close the game with Ryan Anderson. Ryan, he played 29 points tonight, and actually somehow he was a plus 20 in those 29 minutes, even though he was 0 of 3 from 3, but I think, if anything, that shows you that plus-minus can be skewed a little bit. With Ryan, to be truly valuable, he needs to hit threes. Unfortunately, he's still not doing that at Toyota Center. It is what it is. But part of the brilliance, when the Rockets are healthy, when they are deep as they are when they have their normal lineup, and that's, you know, even before adding your Gerald Green, now you have Gerald Green to the mix, in addition to all your other options at the wing spots, you don't have to rely on Ryan as much. Now, certainly you need him to hit a few threes here and there, but if he has an off night, then you can close a game with Bamute and Tucker, as they did tonight, and then with either Clint Capella or Nene in the middle. So again, what this shows you, the Rockets aren't fully back yet. Certainly you still need Trevor Ariza, and you'd like to have Gerald Green as a wild card option to turn to. But generally, especially when you have all of your big guns, James Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and then you have the stable defense of Luke Bamute and P.J. Tucker, what they're supposed to be, it's amazing how so many of your other problems will get sorted out when you're able to get the optimal usage and have the flexibility that you want. Yes, it was a brilliant game for Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. They both made shots at an above 50% clip, which is phenomenal for guards. Their decision-making was great. You know, you can't say enough great things about them, but generally they've been good for this entire season. As we said, there have been stretches in this. Look back to the Golden State game where Paul, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green shot out of their minds. The difference was you were not always able to have the level of team success because you were just having to use those to stay afloat. Well, now when you have James Harden, when you have most of your supporting cast back, the usage is such that you can take their great level of play, and then all of a sudden you have back those late runs, late in the first, early in the second quarters, late in the third, early in the fourth. A slight exception, late in the second quarter night, kind of felt like a bench time because of the James Harden minutes limitation. But essentially, you're able to take their efficiency and take it to the next level because, of course, how it makes it easier to manage their minutes, their rotation. Just amazing how everything falls in line. And, of course, it comes at a good time with the Rockets playing a very quality team in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, part one of our 3 points recap of this game is, of course, focused on the guards and, of course, the return of James Harden, because let's be real, the Rockets are going to go as far as those guys can take them. That's what this team is about. This is a guard-dominated team. Those are three of the best playmakers in the league. So, yes, seeing all three of, well, I don't want to say all three of them at their best, because James Harden, 10 points, 3 of 15 shooting, there's still some rust to be knocked off, but that's to be expected after missing 2.5 weeks with a grade 2 hamstring strain. But seeing Chris Paul and Eric Gordon that great and in optimal roles, that's certainly the headline. But I actually thought a secondary thing that was very encouraging in this game was the performance of Nene and Clint Capella. And for Nene, he had missed a couple of weeks with a bruised knee. So maybe there's a degree of freshness, although certainly, as I said, you still saw the wrap on his legs a little bit. So he's still building back strength as well. But in his 22 minutes, 12 points, 8 boards, 6 of 11 shooting, and plus 21 in those 22 minutes, he was a beast inside. And then because of that, Clint Capella actually had some great finishes late in the game in the fourth quarter to ice it. Clint, after kind of starting sluggish, ended up with 20 points in his 26 minutes on 7 of 9 shooting. And it's the same thing as your guards. When you have both of those guys, it's amazing how you can pick and choose your spots and then get the best out of both of them. And it's particularly important in this matchup because Minnesota's the kind of team, as I said in the preview show today that I did with the Lockdown Timberwolves host, it's a very real proposition that the Timberwolves could be your second round playoff opponent. And so if the Rockets want to get their shot at Golden State, the one they did not get a year ago, they've got to win that second round series, that 2-3, the way they did not a year ago against San Antonio. And Minnesota, to me, there's a lot of talent. As I said, Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, Taj Gibson. There's a ton of skill. There's a ton of toughness. You can see why they've won 29 games, one of only six teams in the league to have won 29-plus games. That includes the Rockets. So you give them a lot of credit. But one thing that stands out as it pertains to the centers, folks, that is a tough front line with Karl-Anthony Towns, with Taj Gibson. And then not only this game, you play them three more times in the regular season, and you have the potential of playing them in the playoffs based on the Timberwolves are the fourth seed now. But as I said, the Spurs at three, I think that they have a very tenuous hold on that given their very difficult schedule and the injury to Kawhi Leonard. So when you play a team with that kind of front line, typically that's where Nene shines. Think back to that Oklahoma City series last year when he saved the Rockets against Steven Adams when Clint Capella wasn't quite ready. Now, I'm not expecting the same thing to happen this year, but at the same time, I don't know if it's reasonable to, say, throw Clint Capella out there for 35, 36 minutes and expect him to be at his best and the Rockets to sink or swim based on that. Against teams that are that physical, quite frankly, it's probably not reasonable to ask anyone to play 35 or 36 minutes in the low block against Karl-Anthony Towns and be at optimal efficiency and stamina the entire time. It's tough. You need two centers that you can trust. And when you sign a 35-year-old, back-to-the-basket player like Nene, a traditional post in a league that does not have that many traditional posts anymore, we've seen from time to time this year, Nene does get exploited, his lack of defensive lateral quickness at this stage of his career. And that's understandable, especially over 82 games, so you're not going to bring it every night. But there are certain matchups that Nene needs to own. This is one of them. I would throw Oklahoma City with Steven Adams in there as well. When you play teams that are that big, that physical, that's what you are paying Nene to do. And not only did he do that in the first three quarters, I said the Rockets plus 21 in his 22 minutes, but I think what was most impressive was how he seemed to, you know, kind of get the Rockets through a rocky start from Clint Capella. And because the Rockets, again, had those low leverage minutes playing from in front, ultimately, I think it made it all the easier for a fresh Clint Capella to come back in the fourth quarter, and I'll steal a line from Jonathan Fagan because it was so appropriate, slam the door. Now, of course, as it turned out, hashtag fake news, Clint Capella did not have the door slammed in his face in Los Angeles, but we know the stories that were out there, so night after, yeah, it's nice to have Clint slamming the door for once. Yes, I know, it's fake news, let's just have some fun with it. But the bottom line, it's the same theory up front that it is for the guards. You need both those guys to get your optimal rotation, and then more than just the rotation angle, to me, seeing Nene play that well is a really good sign, because I do think there's been some slippage from Nene this year. I'm not going to say based on one game after a couple of weeks off that all of a sudden he's back, but it's a reminder that in the right circumstance, just like in the playoffs last year against Steven Adams, that Nene can be incredibly viable. And when you look at who the Rockets are likely to play in the second round to get to potentially, you know, who your biggest candidates for the three seed are, well, two of them, Minnesota and Oklahoma City, are very physical, big teams. So having Nene's presence out there, that's a reminder, at least for one night, that yes, he's still got that gear in him. When you play a team like that, and there's a good shot, in my opinion, you are going to play that type of team in the second round that you need to get past, what you couldn't get past a year ago, to get to the finals of the West and take your shot at Golden State. Now, the third and final segment of our 3 points recap, this is going to be short and sweet, but yes, let's talk about the elite teams. Let's talk about Golden State. As I mentioned leading off, the Timberwolves, they're a good team. We've said their talent over and over, and you know, I don't want to shortchange it because I know the Rockets played well tonight, but you have to tip your cap. Karl-Anthony Towns, 22 points, 16 rebounds, 10 of 19 shooting. Jimmy Butler, 23 points, 8 of 15 shooting. This is a good team. It's a quality win for the Rockets. Tom Thibodeau, especially in the playoffs, you know defensively, there are some schemes that he will throw out there that will make life tough for you. So it's a quality win. And it's a big win for the Rockets on several levels. As I said leading off, the Timberwolves, 29-18. We're just past the halfway point of the NBA season. There are only five teams, not counting the Rockets, there are only five teams in the rest of the NBA, we're not counting the Rockets because we're doing a comparison here, that have 29 or more wins. Those teams, Golden State, Boston, Toronto, and San Antonio. Heading into Thursday night, the Rockets were 2-3, but while they were 2-3, the two wins were Golden State on opening night and San Antonio back on December 15th. They lost to Toronto game in mid-November, and then of course, you've lost to Boston in a heartbreaker, all the ridiculous officiating that happened down the stretch there, and then, of course, to Golden State. The point is, while the Rockets have not been bad against the league's best, it's been a while since they've had what you would truly consider an upper echelon win. I would say, again, December 15th against the Spurs, that was when they were still in that 14-game win streak. And then to go back for that, you'd have to, I know Cleveland doesn't have 29 wins now, but with LeBron playing at his best, yes, they're still up there. So let's give them that. That's in early November. And then before that, you have to go back to opening night in mid-October. So the Rockets, to their credit, you can only play the teams that are in front of you. And the Rockets, 31-12, have done a good job of piling up wins in over 82 games. That matters. But to be taken seriously, to build the confidence it takes, in my opinion, to be fully clicking in April and May, you need to get some statement wins from time to time. While Minnesota is not Golden State, it's a statement. It's a reminder, excuse me, that the Rockets, at full strength, or almost full strength, you still don't have Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green, even with limited James Harden, it's a reminder of just what the upside of this team is. And it comes at a really good time because the next 4 days, you've got two games against the Warriors and the Heat, two very good teams, the Warriors being the best in the NBA. So if you need a confidence boost, there's that. And the other thing, if for some reason you lose those two games, then you getting this game, you know, a 1-2 homestand, while not, you know, not what you want, it's not a disaster. And hell, even if you lose to Golden State, if you're able to go 2-1 with wins over Minnesota and Miami and the only loss is Golden State, I think you consider it a success. So the bottom line is, when you start a three-game homestand against three very good teams in a row, and the Rockets entered it on a stretch in which they haven't played their best basketball against elite teams in a while, yes, it's great to get a win. It's a reminder of just what this team's upside is, and hopefully, of course, they use it as a springboard confidence-wise as they get ready to take on the Warriors on Saturday night, nationally televised game on ABC. So until then, I will sign off. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. Once again, the very happy final from Toyota Center. Rockets 116, Timberwolves 98. The Rockets are now 31-12 on the year. Timberwolves fall to 29-18. Rockets with four games of separation in the loss column between the Spurs for that number two seed. The Spurs right behind them at three, and the Timberwolves 18 losses. That's six games of separation between the Rockets and T-Wolves, who are, as I said, somewhat jockeying for that number two seed, but the Timberwolves, certainly the Rockets are building up that buffer again that they had when they were at their best in mid to late December, coming off that 14-game winning streak in that stretch of 20 of 21. So anyway, I think that's enough words for one day. We had our preview earlier, now our recap. I will get some rest. Hopefully you can do the same. If you want more information, we've got our recaps, everything at LockedOnRockets.com. That's our website. Also Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. At Ben Dubose on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets on Twitter, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. That's the best ways to get in contact with me or the show. If you've got questions, suggestions, anything you want to know about the team, inquiries about how to advertise on this program, that's all of our platforms. Please don't hesitate to reach out. Also, subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, so many outlets. Just search for Locked On Rockets, and you can find and download our shows the minute that they come out. You'll get the notification. Also, leave us a 5-star review if you can, because that's the best way we can remain viable to advertisers across the country and remain what we are now, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. So with that, I'll sign off. Again, 116-98 the final. Rockets improved to 31-12 on the year. They are next in action Saturday night against the Golden State Warriors. High-profile game. Hope to see some of you guys out at Toyota Center then. And I will talk to you shortly after the game right here on Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball. Have a good night, folks.